1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 38. Elijah has prayed. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again. Now that prayer is very important in all its details. I particularly latch on to this. I have done all these things at your command. This was not Elijah's idea. This was not his devising. God had commanded him. God had raised him. God was using him. And this is his prayer. Vindicate me, O Lord, that you may be vindicated. Honor me, Lord, that you may be honored. Answer me, O Lord, that you may be glorified. And then verse 38. Then, praise God, then, the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. 1 Kings 18, verse 38. A tremendous signal answer to prayer. God vindicating his servant, and therefore vindicating his name, his own name. God answering this prayer, and showing and displaying that he truly is the Lord God. The Baals, they had heard, if they could hear, of course they couldn't hear, the Baals had received prayer hour after hour after hour, morning and afternoon, but they were deaf, dumb, useless. God hears this prayer from Elijah, and he shows that he is the living God, for he answers, and the fire of the Lord fell and burned all this up. Now, I'm not here to explain it. I can't. It's beyond me. I'm certainly not here to explain it away, nor am I here to apologize for it, nor what goes on following it. This is at the command of God. This is God working. This is God revealing. This is God displaying his glory. You see, the great contrast here is the Baals are the gods that men make in their own image. Men make gods to do what they like. That's why the Greeks liked their gods to be so utterly licentious. That's what they wanted for themselves. But it's not that God is made in man's image, but man is made in God's image. God is the great creator. God is the great maker. God is the God who answers prayer. Now, let's look at this. The fire is not Elijah. The fire does not belong to Elijah. Let me say that and stress it. It isn't Elijah can do it. It is the fire of the Lord. It is the fire of God. It's God's fire. God is showing here that he has accepted Elijah's work and sacrifice. Is God being vindicated here? This is what miracles are about, my friend. They're not centered on the good of the people. They're centered on the glory of God. Hebrews chapter 2, 4. Christ and his gospel and the apostles were vindicated, what? By miracles, signs, and wonders. They're not just tricks. They're not meant to clear out hospitals and show wonderful things. They are meant to be to the glory of God and to vindicate his word. In the New Covenant, the gospel. In the Old Covenant, his law, his covenant, his promise. You get the same in Mark 2, verse 10, with the paralytic. The Pharisees are grumbling. How can this man forgive sins? Well, so that you know that I can forgive sins, here is a miracle. And he raised the paralytic from his bed. That vindicated that what Christ was saying, he was doing. He was illustrating it also. He was showing the way that he would raise from the dead, spiritually speaking, and so on. The resurrection of Christ is a glorious miracle. It vindicates Christ. It vindicates the decree of God in all his saving mercy. It is the glory of God to be seen there. Only God can do this. Only God can bring this about. There's some loose, cheap talk about miracles. They are signs. They are apostolic signs in the New Covenant. They're Christ signs. They're the prophet's signs. They come just for temporary periods to vindicate God in his word at that particular time. I'm not looking for this now. I'm not preaching for it now. But I do say we need fire. We need power coming down from God. And it's a powerful thing. The fire of the Lord fell and burned. It fell, first of all. It wasn't worked up. Do you see that? It wasn't that Elijah managed to cobble it together. It descended. This is what awakenings are. This is what a man's conversion is. It's God's sovereign coming down, empowered by his Spirit, born of the Spirit. The Spirit works where he wills. God is at work in the saving of sinners. That is a tremendous miracle. God here worked in such a way that the fire of the Lord fell. I emphasize that word. It's not an upward thing. It's a downward gift. My friend, if we're going to see awakening, if God is going to bless this little discourse, if God is going to bless anything of my work, it's got to be that, God's blessing. It's got to fall. I can't work it up. We can't accomplish it. Charles Grandison Finney thought that he could arrange awakenings or revivals. He soon found out he couldn't. Of course you can't arrange these things. Elijah couldn't arrange it. It was all done at God's command. It's like that with all the miracles in the Old Covenant. The Passover. The Red Sea. Naaman. It's like in the New Covenant. Lazarus. The Resurrection. All these miracles, signs, wonders, is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. You see, God is a promising God, and he's a performing God. As I say, it's not Elijah's idea. It's not Elijah's scheme. It's a miracle. It's not a trick, my friend. Don't try and explain it away. It's a real miracle. It's a glorious thing. But I'm going to end on a cautionary note. We want all this, and we need all this in a spiritual sense today. We need power, the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. 1 Corinthians 2, the first 4 or 5 verses. Read it and see. That's what we need today. We don't need lecturing, boring, dry, dead things. We want the living power of God in his word. That's the miracle I'm looking for, to see saints edified and to see sinners saved. But I'll tell you this, if you look at all the miracles, my friends, look at Israel. Look at the blessing Israel has through miracle after miracle after miracle, even this one here, but it won't last. What do you mean? They go back to idolatry. Look at Israel, with the Passover and the Red Sea. They don't go to the Promised Land, do they? They had to wander through the wilderness in judgment for 38 years. Oh, yes. No, my friend, miracles are not the answer in themselves. No, no. It needs God working in our souls, in our hearts. Remember, he said, I'll give you a new covenant. It won't be like the old covenant. You see, that was not effective. The old covenant made nothing perfect. Miracles won't. It needs the power of God in the soul of man. That's the greatest miracle. So those of you who are looking for healings and all the rest of it, I tell you this, my friend, the greatest you need is this awakening of the sinner to Christ, this regenerating power of the Spirit, this converting power, this convicting power, this redeeming power, and the sanctifying work of the Spirit in the saints. And we want a work that will last. These miracles in themselves are not saving. The Jews saw the miracle. They saw Lazarus. They saw the resurrection. But it didn't save them. Only faith in Christ, repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ will save. But it's a wonderful miracle here. It's not the end of the story, by a long way. We should go on to see the effect of this. But let me read the text again. How simple it is. Compare it to the frenzy of the Baal worshippers with the silence that followed. Compare Elijah's solemn prayer, earnest prayer. Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. May God bless us today with the mighty working of His Spirit, that many sinners might be saved and the saints might be edified, all for God's glory, the vindication of His name and His purpose. Amen.